Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love and goodness. Lord, I pray that you certainly be our teacher this morning. Our hearts would be open to the things of the Spirit. And that, Lord, you are active and mightily working in this world. And that we would be open to what you're doing. And that we are vessels that you are using in this dark world. So we just give you thanks in advance. Pray you just anoint me to speak things of the Spirit. And each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're looking at Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming, she'll set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Heavens. Heavens. Now, what we are looking at, we're going through the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, okay? Chapter 4 is the last chapter in the book of Malachi. So this is how God's ending the Old Testament. So we have the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament and, you know, God's revelation and what he's presented to us about himself. So here's the Old Testament. And this is the final chapter, all right? Can you imagine you're writing a book, all right? You're just writing a book, a little novel for somebody, and you end it like this. You're just wiping everybody out. Done, you know, as soon as you close this book and it's over, the end, I'm wiping everybody out. Well, that's kind of how the Old Testament ends. And so you have this incredible last book. You know, I think I was talking to Woods the other day and he says, yeah, I'm going to say Malachi, period. It's done. You know, you read through it and it's kind of amazing what God has said, and you can see in the heart of God is he's like, I am done. And I, you know, I was looking for a title to the message and I put burn it. What do you want to do? Burn it. It's done now. And so you see, you have this picture, and what God has shown us in Malachi, that the whole book is unfolding and tells us why he gets to this point. He starts off, the first message we looked at, his comment was just shut the doors. You got the temple worship, we've got the temple here, and God set everything up how I wanted you to worship God, and it's a mess. There's no heart in it, there's no substance. I'm just a spot on your schedule. There's no commitment. There's nothing there. So he says, shut the doors. Someone, and it's almost like God does this, somebody do me a favor and shut the doors. I'm done with it. I don't want your worship. Then the next message was on stinky teachers. And so he says, the ones who are teaching, I'm so upset with them because they don't communicate my word. They're causing people to stumble. I just want to get a bunch of cow dung and rub it in their face. Now, I don't know. I think God is really creative in how he expresses his displeasure, okay? He's a stinky teacher. I just want to rub dung in their faces. Okay, shut the doors. Worship, I just can't stand it. The teachers are just stinky. And then we had the third message. And by the way, he goes, you're robbing God. Okay, so I mean, gosh, this is going down here. You're robbing God. And it says, you don't give me your best. You know, you don't bring in the full tithe. You rob me. God is not happy. So now we have this message. And God says, well, burn it. Just burn it up. I'm done. Now you blame me? I mean, really, can you blame me? Well, this is how the Old Testament ends. This is how the Old Testament ends. So we have her message here this morning, and his declaration to us is burn it. Now, aren't we glad we have a New Testament? Aren't we glad we have a New Testament? Because something comes afterwards. Now, what it also says in Malachi It also says in Malachi, and this is, and we should pay attention, because the statement that God makes, burn it. I'm done with it. I'm going to set the whole thing ablaze. I'm burning everything up. He means everything. God doesn't change his mind. Okay, he doesn't like, okay, we got this, and y'all, now y'all do better, and so I won't do it. No, he's already declared it. It's over. I'm burning the whole thing up. It's over. So, but here's something he says. Before I burn it, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. Because I'm done with you guys. I'm just done. But before I burn everything up, I'm going to do a couple of more things just before I burn it up. But I've already letting you know the end is I'm going to burn it. But I'm going to do a couple of things, so pay attention. Well, one of them is before he burns it up, he's going to send us one more messenger. And he says that. Look at here. Malachi 3:1. Look at Malachi 3:1. He says, before I burn it up, I'm going to send you one more messenger. And it says this in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. So there's going to be one more messenger. Says, okay, who is this messenger? Well, in Matthew, New Testament, Matthew 11:10, Mark 1:2, and Luke 7:27 uses this verse, specifically this verse, quotes it for John the Baptist. So this is John the Baptist, all right? So this verse in the New Testament, we know who this person is. It's John the Baptist. You know, if you read the Gospels, you go here, you're reading all about Jesus, but here you got this guy, it's John the Baptist, shows up. And you don't hear much about him. Yeah, you do. In Malachi, he is the messenger. He said, before I burn this place up, I'm going to send you a messenger. And it is John the Baptist. Now, also in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it tells us a little bit more about John the Baptist. He mentions this messenger again in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. It says this, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day the Lord comes. Well, I'm going to send you Elijah before this awesome day. Now, Elijah died 400 years before Malachi. So he's dead. Okay, now they know this. The people, the Jews know this. They're not like, wait a minute, you messed up. They know full well what he's talking about. Elijah died 400 years before. But he's saying here, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before this great and awesome day when the Lord comes. So what he means is, I'm going to send you somebody like Elijah, that looks like Elijah, is this messenger. That's going to how you're going to be able to recognize him. That's how you're going to be able to recognize him. And guess who helps us recognize him? Jesus. Look at Jesus when he talks about John the Baptist. Look at Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 11. So Jesus himself interprets the scripture. He interprets the scripture. Matthew 11, 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. So he tells us. I have read a bunch of stuff where people talk about, gosh, I don't know who this is. Who is the Elijah to come? And is it someone we should look forward to? What Jesus just told us. We don't have to read any books. Okay? John the Baptist is the Elijah to come. So Jesus says he is the messenger that's coming. He is the messenger that's going to prepare the way for me. The Lord says, this is the messenger I'm going to say that prepares the way for me. He's almost saying, it's like Elijah. And Jesus goes, John the Baptist is Elijah. Who did John the Baptist prepare the way for? Jesus. So here we have Malachi 400 years before Jesus came, telling about John the Baptist and Jesus coming. Okay, that's called inspiration of Scripture. That's called the prophetic. That's the reason we believe it's here. That's how we know it's true, because it happened. It happened. And it is proof that these books, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, they're written in 300 BC, that record all of this. All right? Jesus quoted from it, and they talked about John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God's clearly told us that before he burns it up, he's going to send us somebody. And he sent us John the Baptist. So he's going to burn it, and we see this thing unfolding. Amen? Now, two, before he burns it, before he burns everything up, he's going to send us Jesus Christ to fulfill everything that was prophesied about him. He's going to send us a messenger, number one. We see that. It was said in Malachi. But he also, number two, he's going to send us Jesus Christ before he burns everything up. Look at Malachi 3, 1 through verse 3. Verse 1 through 3. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing. I just highlighted some things up there for you, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Now, again, this is Malachi. This is 400 years before the birth of Christ. And it says this, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Oh, you want the Lord to come? Well, he's going to show up. "The Lord who you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Okay, now these words are important. The Lord whom you seek is coming. Now, who's the Lord they're seeking? Are they seeking God to come? That's not who they're seeking. The Old Testament prophesies of who? Jesus, the Messiah. So the Messiah, so they know, they full well, okay, they know who he's talking about. The Messiah, he's going to come. So that's what he's saying. In fact, you could put that there. The Messiah whom you seek will come, and he suddenly is going to come to this temple. The messenger of the covenant, because he has a covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ is bringing a new covenant. They knew that. So they got the Messiah. He said he's coming, okay? But before we burn it up, Jesus is going to come, the Lord, the messenger of the new covenant. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord, God, Yahweh. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand it when he appears? Now, they're talking about Jesus. Who's going to be able to stand it when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. And like fuller's soap, he will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He is going to come like fire, and he's going to clean stuff up. All this stuff here is refiner's fire, fuller's soap, and refiner, purifier, silver is a cleaning agent. It's a cleaning agent. Okay? And he will purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi. These are the guys that are doing the work in the temple. Okay? We got Old Testament language here. He'll purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Now, put this in context. He has just said, "You stinky teachers want to rub poop in your face." All right? I'm just fed up with you. Now he's saying, here we're going to have, Jesus is going to come. And Jesus is going to refine these teachers, and they're going to present righteous sacrifices. See, he's going to clean up the mess. How does he make them clean? He has to clean up their heart. He has to clean up their heart so it comes from within, all right? So this is what Jesus is going to do. So now here we got the picture. God says, I'm done. I'm burning it up. But before I burn it up, I'm going to send John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to tell you about Jesus, and Jesus is going to come and clean your hearts up. Then I'm going to burn it up. See, he didn't ever say he wasn't going to burn it up. He said, but I'm going to send Jesus. He's going to clean your hearts up. Now, so here we are today. Where are we today? Well, one thing we are closer to is him burning it up. Okay? We are closer to him burning it up. But here's something we need to look at. What has happened here in Malachi, what has happened is Malachi, and what he has done, all the Old Testament does exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. They mingle the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. There is a first coming of Christ when he comes as a child, and there's a second coming of Christ when he comes in judgment. All right? So there's two comings of Christ. And what they do when the prophets talk about it, they're talking looking down this direction. And if you're looking at two mountains back to back like this, they look like they're, well, one, two, they're right together. But when you look at them like that, here's my two, do you see my two mountains? Okay, they look like they're right together. But when I turn sideways, there's a huge valley in between them. So what the prophecy of the Old Testament does, he talks to us just like that. And so the Old Testament prophets talk to us, and it's just like this happened, and they happen right together. They don't. There's big gaps in between them. And this is what happened, what Malachi does. There's a gap between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. But they're both comings of Christ. Does that make sense? Well, I did. I made us a little chart, because that's important for us to understand. Because the second coming of Christ is when he says, burn it. All right? The second coming. Now, I want you to look at this chart. I won't brag. I did that by myself. I did. I just totally feel like I can do anything now. You know, I mean, just totally. But what I want you to look at, I'm trying to make this just as clear and as simple as we could to understand what this prophecy, because what we're talking about, what we're looking at, Malachi said, burn it. Well, we ought to like, okay, when's this happening? When's this happening? Well, first of all, I want you to look here. It's right there, the blue line right there. That's just history. Okay, that's just history. And so what we have at the beginning, at where we pick up, here's Malachi. See Malachi? So he gives us this prophecy. And right here, this distance between here is 400 years. He gave this prophecy 400 years before Jesus came, 400 years before John the Baptist. Malachi gives us, the prophecy. And then Jesus comes and says, yep, that's what Malachi said. So he confirms it. So Jesus confirms Malachi's prophecy. And so here we have Jesus' ministry. And I put Elijah right here. That's John the Baptist. I could have put John the Baptist there. But in Malachi, it used the term Elijah. We know that Elijah and John the Baptist, in this case, are the same person. They're the same person. So we have Jesus' ministry just like Malachi said in history. Now, what we have in this history is that when Jesus came right here, what did he establish? The kingdom. He said, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is here. Jesus established the kingdom. Oh, it's good that I go away and leave you here, because you're going to do greater things. It's the kingdom. When I stand here and cast out demons, the kingdom has come upon you. He established the spiritual kingdom right here. Jesus came and established the kingdom of God. Amen? What kind of kingdom is it? Spiritual kingdom. You're born again. You're born again with it. If I had this to do over again, this chart, I wouldn't have put kingdom here. I would have put age of the Holy Spirit. I would put, that's the term I actually would have used. The Bible says kingdom. So that's probably, we should stay with kingdom. But we could put up there, that's the age of the Holy Spirit. That green line is the age of the Holy Spirit. And it started with Jesus' ministry. And again, it's so important. We say, oh yeah, that Jesus says, now it's good I go away, because you're going to do greater things in the kingdom. You're kingdom people. The Holy Spirit is present. The power of God is present. My work is present. Okay, but that's spiritual. What's happening here at the bottom? Still physical. You still got the same old crud going on. You've got the same old sin going on. You set the same old flesh going on right here. It hadn't changed. So right there, we got the kingdom has been established, and that's the age in which we live in right now. What is God doing right here in this kingdom? This is what he's doing. He is purifying. In this kingdom, what he is doing, he said, he is a refiner's. He's not a judging fire. He's a refining fire. He's like Fuller's soap. He's not destroying it. He's cleaning it. All right? So there's no destruction here. He's a refiner and he's fuller soap. And he says, I'm going to purify you like silver. And then the sons of Levi will offer righteous sacrifices. All right? That's Old Testament language to say, then you'll worship me like you're supposed to worship me in truth and spirit. But he didn't, they don't have it now, so he has to talk to them in a physical sense. But it means it in the spiritual sense. So we are right now at this situation, we're in the fuller soap stage. Okay? Are we in the fuller soap stage right here? The refining silver stage. Have any of you said, you know, I just feel like I'm in the heat and it's everything and just God just burning off everything I'm having in between him and I. That's the refining stage. That's the green line right there because he's refining us spiritually. All right? But that's in the spirit. How is the world doing? They loving Jesus? They following what Jesus is doing? No, they're going downhill. Now, where are they going? Where are they going to end up? God says, nah, I'm going to burn them up. Now, this is what I'm doing. We know this because I told you back here. I hadn't changed my mind. Because we're here. Jesus loves us. He won't burn up. No, I love you, but I'm going to burn them up. You see what I'm saying? So this helps us understand what's going on and what it's saying in Malachi. Now, what Malachi did and what the Old Testament says, they'll talk about this and this in the same breath. Oh, he's coming. Everybody's going to love Jesus. I'm going to kill everybody else. Well, how'd you do that? How'd you work that? You know, well, there's going to be a few years in between, but I am going to do it. So that's what it looks like. Now, so as we process and try to look at this, Jesus will come back. He is coming back. When you look at the world and you think, what? They're just making some decisions that just not, they're anti-Christian. I'll put it that way. They're just wrong. What's going to happen? See right there? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. God goes, I got this. You know, I got this. I just burn it up. Well, maybe they'll change their mind and get better. God goes, no, they won't. I just burn them up. They ain't going to change their mind. They're not going to get better. I'm going to burn them up. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's like, oh, my goodness. In Revelations, it talks about, you know, you talk about these people that he burns up. Says, oh, I guess he'll see Jesus coming. He'll burn them up, and they'll all repent. You know what it says in Revelations? It says they curse God. That's what it says. It says, no, they curse God. No, they're bad to the bone to the end. All right? See? There's nothing to do with the folks here but burn them up. And I know it. I'm going to do it. But before I burn them up, there's a whole bunch of folks out there that are going to come to know me and serve me. And I'm going to hold off burning it up until I get the rest of these folks together. Because there's people out there that love me. I mean, now that's an oversimplification. I'll add one thing. See this period right here? If any's been into end times books and all these end times books and coming on, and there's volumes of, I mean, just volumes written about it. Here's where it is. It's just that point. That's where they're focusing. And they're not focusing the rest of it. They're just focusing right there. That one point. Some people say that's 3 years. Some people say that's 7.5 years or 3.5 years or that's 7 years or that's immediately. But it's just that one spot. That's all it is. So they've all that. I mean, that's a lot of paper for one spot. It just is a lot of paper for one spot. There's a lot going on here to spend all that paper in that one spot. All right. But, and by the way, that one spot, whatever it is, it's going to happen. You have nothing to do with it. It's just going to happen. I mean, you can read the book, but it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. We don't even get a vote. You know, it's just going to happen. So anyway, I don't have any problem reading it, studying it like that, but it's just going to happen. So the thing of it here, the reason God told us it's going to happen, in fact, the disciples, before he was arisen, things haven't changed, before he ascended, guess what the disciples asked him? Just before Jesus left, on this time, when he went to heaven, guess what they asked him? They spent 3 years at least with him, and they says, when are you going to establish the kingdom of Israel? You know what he said? He goes right here. What he probably says, you've got to be kidding me. No, he didn't say that. But what he did said, it's not for you to know the day or the time. That's what he told them. So I don't figure it's for me to know the day and the time. But it's going to happen. It is going to. And by the way, nobody's going to go, are you sure that's him? No, I mean, it's going to be a hot time, okay, in the town. By the way, don't worry about global warming. Don't worry about it. Because it's going to really, it's going to global warm right there. They're going to be global warming right there. It's heat. The one thing the lost world has, there's going to be some global warming going on. I don't care what kind of car you drive. It's going to be hot here. I don't care if you use coal, don't use coal. It's going to be hot here. Nothing can do to stop the heat right here that's coming. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to have some global warming, all right? But that's the kind of global warming, guy, and you can't stop it. You can't stop that kind of warming. So anyway, so the point of it is, where are we? This is where we are. And this is going to happen. It's just going to happen. And God says, I'm going to burn it up. So what do? In the meantime, we serve as agents of the Lord Jesus Christ to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We have that message. That is the only message. There is no other message than that. And like I said, and I don't mean to be totally facetious, but a little bit facetious. Don't get sidetracked like stuff like global warming. No, it's going to warm. No, it's going to burn up. Nothing left. Nothing left. And then God's going to establish his kingdom. I should state here also, it's important to note, at this point, when Jesus comes back the second time and burns it up, what happens here is the spiritual and the physical are together. They're new now. The physical and the spiritual work together as one. And the evil is totally gone away, and the spiritual live in this world with evil totally gone. So at this point on, there is no evil. It's no evil. Now it's going to get hot, but after that, there's no evil. See, when God burns it up, say, I'm done. Everybody, it's finished. There's no second chances. There's nothing. I'm going to burn it up. But now my people on that green line are forever on this earth living with no evil. Filled with the Holy Spirit with no evil. Man, that sounds good. Man. That's what that says. That's what it says. That's what Malachi says. That's what Malachi says. So he tells him, burn it up. I'm done. However, before I burn it up, I'm going to send John the Baptist, and I'll send the Lord Jesus Christ. And send the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. Fascinating here. Both Advents, the first Advent of Jesus, first coming of Jesus, and the second coming of Jesus, all come by fire. They all come by fire. It's really fascinating. Now, this one, burns away, destroys all evil. This is the wrath of God. Wrath of God. But the first time, it comes with fire too. But it's a fire that within the heart, that when people receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a fire that's within the heart, that refines the heart, that changes the heart. And then the Christ flows from within. See, and here, you can put that next overhead up, Christine. That's fire. That's the first Advent. That's the fire of the first Advent. It happened. And it's almost, Jesus, what did Jesus come in the first Advent? Refiner of silver, fuller soap. Who can stand in his presence? It's that fire. It's that fire right there. He comes in the presence of the Holy Spirit and refines and transforms people. That's the fire. The second fire destroys all evil. It's almost like the Lord goes, pick your fire. Pick your fire, because I'm coming in fire. Pick which one you want. That's for the whole world. Pick which fire you want. You want that fire, or you want it washed and destroy the whole world? Pick your fire. See, there's no in between. There's no in between. Pick your fire. Now listen to this. He told the disciples when they said, are you going to establish the kingdom now? You know, he says, no, listen, don't. Stop it. Stop it. What he does tell them is this. You wait. You wait, and you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power. So they all get together, pray, and here, and it's Acts 2:1. Fire comes. Refining fire. Who can stand in the presence of the fire? The refining fire. Because this refining fire doesn't destroy them. They offer right sacrifices. It's a refining fire. And it says this, Acts 2:1. When on the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided as it was tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. And appeared to them and rested on each one. On each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were refined. Refined. And they offered up right sacrifices. See, that's the whole thing. That's not judgment. That's the first fire. But there is a second fire for everybody. A second fire. And again, what did it say in Revelations? When he came with the judgment, they cursed him who was bringing the judgments on them. See, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do but burn it. There's nothing to do but burn it. And so here we are. We're going to choose the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're going to choose the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Now listen to what Malachi says. Malachi says, we're back, because that's where we're going back to. And what's fascinating, Malachi said this 400 years before Jesus, okay? He's letting us know. Malachi says, shut the church doors. We'll bring it to presence, because he really nails the churches, current day churches, that don't listen to him. That don't listen to him. So the current day, he says, Malachi says to the, shut the church doors. I'm disgusted with your worship. I'm sick of your stinky teachers. I'm appalled that you're robbing me. However, before I burn it all up, before the fire of judgment, there's a fire of the Holy Spirit. Choose. Choose. The other overhead, Christine. Choose. I mean, it really is. Choose. Choose what you want. And it's the Holy Spirit is serious business. And I want to aim it. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of God, right? Who's in us? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And it says, anybody asks the Holy Spirit, I give it to him. I give it to him. And it says, a submission. Ask, fill me, God. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. And then the Lord says, all right, you're on that green line. You receive the Holy Spirit. You're on that green line. I'm going to burn up history, all right? But in the meantime, you are the one that are the salt and light in this world. You know what? Salt is a preservative, you know, so it doesn't something become rotten, okay? We are the salt so the world doesn't become rotten, okay? We are the salt. Okay, it says you are the light in darkness. The world's dark. We are the light, you know. And so we're speaking in light. We're the salt and light. That's what God says. But what is it? Gets to a point, God, and nobody's listening. It's everybody's turn. What are you going to do? Say, I'm going to burn it up. Let's burn it up. Just to let you know, I told you Malachi, I'm going to tell you again, I'm going to burn it up. But in the meantime, you are the salt and the light of the world. Catch on fire with the Holy Spirit. You are supposed to be on fire by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the world? They are on fire by the sins of their nature. They're consumed with their sin and their nature. And God says, you be consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you step up because you know we win and I'm going to burn it up. See, I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know. Did you know why the church is such an irritation to the lost? Why? Because we're light in their darkness. We're telling them by our light that they're dark. And we're saying, there's salt without you, you're rotten. You know? And that's, we just show up and do that. We don't even have to say anything. They do like that. See? And so what stands in the way of a progressive society that is hell-bent on sin is the church is standing there. It's an irritation, a God-placed irritation. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit presence in the world before God destroys everything. He destroys everything. And once he destroys everything, hey, we're good, okay? We're good with him. And we'll go for eternity with no evil around us, with glorified bodies, right? But we got to do what you got to do is pick your fire. Pick your fire. And it says, how do you pick your fire? I mean, because we mess up. I mean, we really mess up. God, it's like, gosh, I just mess up. How in the world do you pick your fire? And he says, well, I take care of it. So he who knew no sin became sin, so you could be the righteousness of God. See, he who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew no sin. Therefore, he became our sin on the cross, died in our place. He became sin, and we became the righteousness of God. Man, I'm just right because I'm cleansed by the blood. Oh, I just fill me with the Holy Spirit. Win-win. Sin's paid for, filled with the Holy Spirit. Win-win, all the way. And then you're light to the world. But be on fire. Listen, the world is boasting, throwing out their chest, kind of said, hey, you know, our sin and perversion is acceptable, you know. And we're going, do what you want to, but we're receiving the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we know that the fire of judgment is going to fall. By the way, that fire of judgment, we don't do that. You know, we don't do that. You burn and go to hell. We don't do that, okay? God does that. See, God does that. You know, he said, I'm taking care of that. I'm going to burn it all up. But he does it. We don't do that. We just shine light. We just shine light. We do, and even things, you know, we have this healing service. We're just calling upon the Lord. Let you know. Well, that's crazy. No, it's not. That's what God says. We're going to have a healing service. We're going to call upon the Lord. We're going to hear the prophetic words. We're going to call upon the Lord. We're going to be light here. We're going to go on that green line in the spiritual reality, you know. But they say it goes counter to my blue line on the bottom of history. That's right. Because that line burning up. Okay? It's because of that blue line of history and burning the whole thing up. I don't like, I'm sick of it. I'm nauseated by it. That's what God says. And by the way, I'll end it with this. For any of us, well, you know, we just kind of play the middle. You know, it was we just kind of play the middle, you know, in the church, you know, kind of foot in this world, foot in the church, just play the middle. And God talks about that church. Laodicea, he talks about the church. He says, you're lukewarm. You make me want to throw up. That's what he said. I want to throw up. I just don't know there's a lot of blessing in that. I mean, I don't know. Look at the church. You just make me want to throw up. See, it's like, no, won't you fire for me what I've done for you. So, bottom line, here we end up with Malachi, and he pictures burning it up. But before he does, he sends a messenger, John the Baptist. He sends the Lord Jesus Christ as the purifier. And Lord Jesus Christ gave us the message to carry the message of purification and forgiveness to the world. That's all we have. You're forgiven. Receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will change you from within. But in this side, I kind of have these urgings for this. I got a lot of urgings I ain't going to tell you about. You know? Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you get transformed. You have urgings to the things of God. You're changed from within. You're changed from within. Anybody that receives the Holy Spirit is changed from within to behave like Jesus. People don't need new behavior. They need Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Don't talk about their behavior. They can't do nothing about it, okay? It's within. It's changed from within, and God changed them. So we introduce them to the Jesus and receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they're changed from within. Amen? See, that's us. That's us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We'll go and say, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. Lord, I mean, to me, when I look at this, I just think, to see that you said all this in Malachi, 400 years before the birth of Christ. I mean, it's just stunning that you said all of this 400 years before the birth of Christ. And Lord, just to know that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have salvation. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit working to us, through us, to do the things He wants us to do. Yes, the Holy Spirit within us is working like a fuller's soap. Yes, we feel scrubbed down. Yes, the Holy Spirit within us is burning us like silver and burning the dross away. Yes, sometimes it gets hot, Lord, and it's struggle. But You're working in us so that we can offer up right sacrifices from within. You change us from within. You don't give us a bunch of rules from without. You change us from within. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I just want to just give You time as I pray, just in Your own mind, in the quietness of Your heart, to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me. Oh, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Consume all those things that are against You. Consume all those things that carry my heart against You. Just consume it, Lord. Consume it, Holy Spirit. And let it just burn with the fire of the love of You. Oh, Lord, to love You, to love You. We just thank You, God. We thank You, God. Because Jesus comes in fire. First time and the second time. We give You thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.